I'm not going to think of this like a preach because otherwise it's a bit too scary. So I'm just going to think of it as I've read a chapter and God has given me some things to say. So this is what I'm going to say. You might not like it all, just so you're aware, because there is quite a big chapter on convicting that God has told me I have to say today, which is nice. First preach, you get to condemn all these lovely people. So we're going to start with the first one. So this chapter is quite big, and by quite big, I mean massive. So I've pulled out things from it that basically what God said to me, and there's certain points that come into it. So the first one, this is about the Holy Spirit at work. So that's what he does. And the first one I have to preach on here is called inspiring. So there's a quote here, which I'm going to read. So it goes like this. The Holy Spirit inspires one's intellect to translate scripture through poem and song. The result is immediately distinguishable as coming from above. Now, that spoke to me quite a lot because that's how I feel the Spirit, if you like. When I'm singing or when I'm writing, I like writing poems and stuff like that. One of my favorite things to read in the Bible is the Psalms because they're basically poems and then they're made into songs. But what I noticed about it was you can tell the difference if you're listening to a Christian song, for instance. Like, that song was awesome. Actually, I've never heard that before, but that was a really awesome song. And you can feel the presence. You can feel the Spirit that was there when they wrote that song and when they're singing that song and who they're singing it to. And that is not there when you're listening to secular music. That same Spirit isn't there. There's a massive difference. So as it says, it is quite distinguishable that it comes from above. Another thing which you pointed out to me was that I don't think we give the Holy Spirit enough credit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who inspires you. Everything that's ever been written, like poems, music, all this, it's not just come out of thin air. Like when I forgot his name, wrote Amazing Grace, he didn't just think up the words himself. God gave him the words through the Spirit. And those words have touched countless people. If you go to funerals even, people who are not Christians, Amazing Grace will be playing on the screen. Even though they don't believe and they don't understand the words that are there, it's still there. So that was one of the things. Inspiring. So he does that all the time. You might not even know it's happening because, to be honest with you, when I'm writing down poems, I just think, oh, that's me. That's me. That's all in my head. I'm doing it. Nothing else is controlling me or making me do it. But actually, no, it's not. We can't take credit for it because it is literally everything comes back down to God, and he uses the Holy Spirit to show you through those things. And the second point, which is enlightening, because that's another thing he does. He enlightens something. So when I looked up the word enlightening, I like definitions. I like to, if someone tells me a word, I need to look it up and figure out exactly what it is before I say it. So there are two meanings. So the first one is this: to give someone greater knowledge and understanding about a subject or a situation. Now, a lot of people say that they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't think he's real, but they're okay with God and they're okay with Jesus. They're fine. We believe in them, but the Holy Spirit, that's a bit ghost. This is a creepy subject. We don't want to discuss that. But the fact of the matter is, it is there. Because who has ever been in a situation or a circumstance where there is literally no way out, you've no idea what to do, and there's no ideas coming to your head, there's nothing there, and then somebody, might not even be a Christian, just somebody said something to you, and it clicks in your head that that is right, I need to do this or I need to do that. That just doesn't happen by chance. You have that within you. You have the Holy Spirit within you, and he comes out, if you let him, when you're needed in that situation. The second meaning of the word enlighten, very simple, quite literally, is to shed light on. That's what it means. And that is where we come in, because as Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So you are, whether you like it or not, guys, on show all the time. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Because everyone is looking at you. And more so now. In this time, everyone is looking at you. I can't tell you how many of my friends have been messaging me going, are you freaked out about this COVID and this and that? And I'm like, no, actually, I'm not. It's like, well, you should be. Why are you not freaked out about it? Well, because God's not given me a spirit of fear. And I'm quite peaceful in this situation because he's not given me that. But in the world today, it is looking pretty dark. There are a lot of things going on. And some people are choosing to just live in the darkness and get on with it, and this is how it is now. But that's not it. There is a way out, and that is what we are. We are a portal, if you like, of light, and they can go through us to God. But I think when I read that, everyone reads that scripture, don't they? We are the light of the world. Obviously, it's very simple. Everyone's looking at us. We should shine. But what it says, which I found interesting, which I never thought of before, is the city on a hill cannot be hidden. So if we're up there on this hill, that must mean everyone else is down there in the valley where it's all very dark. So where else are they going to look? They've got to look up. So it's really quite simple when you break it down. And the third thing that he talked to me about was drawing. Now, the drawing people, we might think that's quite difficult. I think it's quite difficult sometimes telling people, you should come on to church because, you know, this happens and this is how God dealt with this situation. And they'll be like, nope, that's it's too judgy there and people are mean to you and they don't like you because of this and this and it's too many rules. No, can't do it. But that is where the Holy Spirit comes in because he helps us and he does a lot of the work himself, let's be honest. He draws people in. And it's the same way as the inspiring. You don't always know it's happening. It could just be someone who you don't know just constantly saying, I go to church on Sunday. It's like, oh, okay, great. And then one day you just decide, I'll come with you. One of our past members, Mary, she came here because she was literally just driving constantly. I think it was to a car boot sale or something. Constantly going past the church. Constantly. And something, every time she went past her saying, you should go in there. You should go in there. Why are you not going in there? You don't need to go to a car boot sale. You need to go in there. And then eventually she did. Sometimes it takes a lot longer than that. Sometimes it happens in an instant. But either way, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. And you can also, you know, pray for the people as well. But you're not in it on your own, is what he's trying to say. There is always someone there helping you. My final point, which is the really difficult one, because nobody likes to hear this one. Nobody, not even me. But the final thing is called convicting. That is also what he does. Who knows what convicting means? I'm assuming everyone here in this room, because it's quite clear. But there's a quote in the book, which I quite like, and it says this, convicting doesn't mean conversion. In other words, he's not going to force you into repentance. You have to choose that for yourself. And the first thing you've got to do there is admit what you're doing is wrong, which is the difficult part, guys, because we like to think we don't do anything wrong. But we do. So we have to admit what we're doing is wrong and then we need to change it. But we don't need someone telling us it's wrong. We know it's wrong. Otherwise, you wouldn't have that feeling where you're like, oh, he's looking at me. He knows I'm doing something I shouldn't do. But the Holy Spirit is not there to give you that feeling and just send you away feeling like you're judged and you're put down upon. He's supposed to be there as a warning for those consequences. Because there are consequences. If you do something wrong, kids included, everyone knows this, there will be consequences. And they won't always be nice. Some might not be as bad as others, but there will be consequences. So he's there to stop you before you do that thing that gets you in trouble. Now, when I looked up the word conviction, again, I like looking up things, knowing what I'm talking about. There are two definitions. And the first one is this. A firmly held belief or opinion. Now, that is a word I use quite a lot because I have quite a lot of convictions, particularly when I'm talking to my friends. And that's exactly what it means, firmly holding on to a belief or an opinion. But it doesn't say in anywhere in the definition if the opinion or the thing is good or bad. It just says you're firmly holding on to it, so you don't want to let it go. So the second definition that I found was this. A formal declaration by the verdict of a jury or a decision of a judge in a court of law that someone is guilty of a criminal offence. It's a bit of a heavy one. It's not so good, that. See, now that's the consequence part. And the Holy Spirit isn't the one who delivers that, let me tell you. He's just the one to tell you that is what's going to happen. If you don't do this or you're doing this wrong, God is going to have to put a stop to it. And you're not going to like it, but he's going to have to do it. But when I was reading it, part of me was thinking, okay, this is quite heavy for my first preach. I don't really want to say this, but I have to, so I'm not going to disobey. But what the point he wanted to make wasn't that, you know, you should feel convicted, you should feel, he used the word blessed, which is not a word you want to use in conviction. But it's like, we should feel blessed that someone loves us enough to tell us before we go down that path. If my parents love me, which they do, they will tell me if I'm doing something wrong before it gets to the point where I'm in trouble. When I was a kid, it used to be 1, 2, 3. And then if you didn't, then you got a smack bum. So there was a consequence. But that 1, 2, 3 was very important because it was warning you. And very often, she just had to look at you and you'd stop. That'd be it. You wouldn't even need to get to 1 or 2 or 3. We obviously don't learn as well as children because it takes us a long time before God knocks us over the head and says, right, stop it. You're on your final warning. You need to stop. That takes a very long time for people to grasp that. But what he wanted to say, which is not, you know, there are rules and they are put in place to protect you, just like there are for judges and juries. The person who's in court found guilty, they will have had an opportunity to do that thing or to not do that thing. And in this law, you know, we have rules and we know if you break them, this is what happens. And obviously, I'm not saying any of you are going to jail or anything like that. It's actually a bit worse than that. But that is what he wanted to say. Those are here for a reason, not to make you feel like you're being judged. But it's very clear in Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. So I think sometimes as Christians, we think we're exempt from that. Not exempt in a, we can do no wrong. It's just, we're covered by the blood of the Lamb. We've said our sorrows. We go to church. We do this, we do that. We can do this. It's fine. Like that's not the case. All have sinned, then all must need to repent. That's how it goes. It doesn't matter if you're out there or you're in here. If God is saying you shouldn't be doing something, he's saying it for a reason. That 1, 2, 3 is there on purpose because you don't want what's happening next. So whilst I end on that, Kerry is going to cheer us up with some more things the Holy Spirit does, which is not so dark as mine. But yeah, that's basically what God told me to say. If you don't like it, I'm very sorry. You're going to have to take it up with him.
Well, since Pastor Rob was so delighted in ratting me out, everybody knows that I'm not scared, but just feels different. Like, it's not Facebook Live. I'm actually seeing people, my family. But since when Pastor Rob said that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, as Olivia said before, we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. She first started talking about inspiring, and that was my first one as well. Inspiring, because the Holy Spirit, he does inspire. When he's working in you, you become a different person. Like, you would say things that you wouldn't usually say. You would behave in ways that you wouldn't behave because you have that anointing. You have the inspiring of the Holy Spirit. It builds you with a confidence. You're not fearful anymore. You see things that you wouldn't usually see. And you acknowledge things that before would have been like, you know, you don't even pay it any attention. But because you're open to the Holy Spirit, you see things in a whole different light. So you then become a light because you're inspired with that light, with that anointing, and you want it to spread out to other people. So if we are open to receiving the Holy Spirit, we will definitely be inspired. We'll be amazed at the things that he can do in our life. The Holy Spirit also inspired the disciples, because before Jesus left, remember he said, I have to go because I need the Comforter to come, just paraphrasing. And if Christ didn't die and go, the Holy Spirit would not have come. We would not have that privilege, the Holy Spirit, to actually intercede for us to God. Because if we've done anything, that's it, we're condemned. There's no going and asking for forgiveness, because back in the years with the Israelites, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. It was only Moses that actually would have spoken to God for them or interceded for God on their behalf. And whatever his judgment was, that was it. And most of the time when they sinned, it was death. But because of the Holy Spirit, we have been given the grace to go before God, to ask for forgiveness, to repent. Peter was a coward, as we all know in the Bible, they said. They even nicknamed him Coward Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times because he was operating from the flesh. But when Peter received the anointing of God, nobody could believe that that was the man that said he did not know God. In his preaching, 3,000 people were saved. He did miracles in the name of God. He did exploits in the name of Jesus because he allowed the Holy Spirit to take control and use him. He didn't care if he was going to be killed, if he was going to be whipped, if he was going to be stoned, because he had that anointing and he felt like a superhuman. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us as it indwells in us. We become a whole different person. We die to flesh and we become new. So when we become new, we're supposed to walk in a newness, a different light. We're supposed to behave, our character change. Not overnight, not automatically, but you can actually see the changes in ourselves. Yes. So the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us for a purpose. It's a purpose for our lives. The Holy Spirit is that key that unlocks the door to God's purpose for our lives. Because as much as we pray, as much as we fast, there's certain things that God will tell us, but there are other things that we actually need the Holy Spirit for God to reveal it to us. You know, like if you're a deep sea diver, you have been diving in that area for ages, they use you as a guide because you know where in the water to go in, where you can find whatever you're looking for. That's the thing with the Holy Spirit. He is our anchor to God. So as long as we have him, we have that connection. We're connected to God. We can hear from him. We can speak to him. So we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is a very important aspect in our lives. As Olivia said, a lot of people, they say, oh, the Holy Spirit is not real. He is real and he lives because you feel him, you hear him. You know when you're doing wrong, as Olivia said, you're convicted. You hear that tiny little voice convicting you, prompting you to go this way instead of that way. But it's to be obedient to that voice, to actually know it is the anointing. So therefore, we have to be open and to receive it so that we can produce the fruits that he wants us to produce. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's simple. That's as simple as it can get. When Christ died for us, he was resurrected after he died. But when he died, our sins died with him. We were forgiven because of that sacrifice that he made on the cross. Therefore, our new man is a representation of Christ. But we cannot represent Christ properly without the Holy Spirit. Because if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we don't have the anointing. It's just dead. You're just saying words, but they have no weight. They carry no merit because they're not anointed. You need to have that anointing of God that when you open up and you speak and you tell people your story, they're like, wow, did God do that? If he did that for you, he can do that for me. You know, so in that sense, you're also inspiring them. You're piquing their curiosity, like they want to know the Holy Spirit. In the sense, if I say to Emma, oh, I've been to this nice Italian restaurant, the food was really nice. She's going off of what I've said, and she's going to go to that restaurant as well to try the food. When she tries it, she says it to Edvish, and Edvish goes, she says, so it passes on. So we are spreading that anointing, and that's what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to share the anointing, not keep it for ourselves. And then in Romans 7:15, Paul said, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. When I first read that verse a long time ago, it puzzled me, because I'm like, how could you not do what is right, but you do what you hate? It sounded like a contradiction. But as you get to know God and you dwell more with the Holy Spirit, you understand exactly what Paul is saying. Without the Holy Spirit, we would not do what is right. We would do what we want to do, what we think is right, but we're not going to do what is right in the sight of God without the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I remember when Paul was in prison, he said he had this thing that was in his side, I think. And he said it was annoying. It was like a really annoying pain. And he said he asked God to move it. And he said, no, I'm keeping it there to remind you to be humble. Now that's the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we get so proud and we forget that we are not doing it on our own. That everything we do, we are doing with the Holy Spirit. We have to be spirit-led, not flesh-led, because if we are led by the flesh, we always will find ourselves in a problem. But if we stop and we focus on what we know the word is saying and what God wants us to do, we would be spirit-led. We would not be led by the flesh. But it's not easy. It's something that we have to keep practicing. It's something that we have to keep calling out to the Holy Spirit to do it for us, to lead us and to guide us and to open our eyes. So therefore, if anyone does not have the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to access him. He's already in you. You just need to ask him to reveal himself, ask him to guide you, ask him to enlighten you, and he would. And Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit himself testify with our spirit that we are children of God. My life now is a witness to the Holy Spirit, because through him I know who I am in Christ. My faith is stronger. When I am weak, he's my strength and he encouraged me. Now this goes as a witness. At some point in time, we need a witness to witness for us. Maybe a reference if you're applying for a job. If you're getting married, you need a witness. We also need a witness as the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit is not a witness and he cannot testify that we are children of God, we're not considered children of God. Because if he says you're not a child of God, there's nothing that we can do to become a child of God. So we need him as a witness in our life. We need him to say, you know what? Carrie is trying to live the right way, God. Give her one more chance. Or Steppy is being bad. Give her one more chance. He intercedes. He witnessed for us. He is there to represent us. He is there to say, God, you know what? That judgment is a bit too harsh. If I can do this and I can do that, Father, would you allow me to do it? That is the power of the Holy Spirit. We need him on our behalf. We need him on our side, because we are nothing without him. And when we embrace the Holy Spirit, he reveals the truth about us. As Olivia said about convictions, none of us like to be convicted, but that's the job of the Holy Spirit, because God loves us. And if we are not convicted, we always think that what we are doing is right. But if we are convicted, then we know what I'm doing is wrong. I need to change it. I need to stop. I need to get better. I need to find ways. Maybe I need to ask someone to pray with me. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants, because he doesn't want us to fall short of the glory of God. He doesn't want us to not be under the anointing of God. So therefore, we have him. He's a friend. He's a friend that will never leave us. But we have to remember not to grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Bible said it's better to grieve God than to grieve the Holy Spirit. You cannot come back from grieving the Holy Spirit. And that in itself says the power that the Holy Spirit has, because if God can forgive us for grieving him, but he would not forgive us for grieving the Holy Spirit. Do we not understand the definition Do we not understand how powerful the Holy Spirit is? Because if God is God, the creator and maker of everything, and he said, I will forgive you, but not if you grieve the Holy Spirit. It's just death. You can't recover from it. So we need to understand how the Holy Spirit impacts us and the purpose for him in our life. Like, I found this verse. I was listening to Myles Munroe as well about the Holy Spirit. And he said this, the abuse of our lives is the ignorance of our lives. A lot of people might take that in a wrong way, but it is the right thing. It's so true. Everything that we've done in our life that is wrong, is because of ignorance. It's because we didn't know any better. We didn't know Christ. We didn't know God. We didn't have the Holy Spirit. So we were ignorant. We were just going about thinking like, this is okay. But when you become a new creation in Christ and you have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling and prompting you, you know, it's different. You don't want to be ignorant anymore. You don't want to speak like a fool. You don't want to behave like a fool. You want that when people see you, they can say, you know what? She's a representation of Christ. Look at how she's changed. Look at her behavior. Like, I'll use Emma as an example because you all know I love using Emma. Emma is a representation of God. She represents what God can do in your life. She represents what the Holy Spirit can do in your life when you open up to him. Emma, Gavin, Darcy, they are, like, sometimes when I'm feeling low and I'm struggling and I feel like I'm questioning God and I'm saying, Father, I'm not worthy. I can't do this. I can't do that. Even today, I was all over the place. I'm like, I'm a wreck. I said, Father, are you sure that you want me up on that pulpit to preach? I'm not worthy. But because he knows where I'm going to end, he knows that I'm worthy. So it's me now to get in line with the Holy Spirit and just be obedient. As Olivia said, we need to be obedient. And Emma came to the door and I saw Gavin because I was asking for him for like 4 weeks now. And he hugged me and it felt, you know, genuine. And then Emma came in and she was like, I said, I'm nervous. She said, I prayed for you this morning. And it calmed my soul because knowing that someone else is going to God and pray for you, now that is an anointing on their life as well, because they're taking time out to pray for you. You not even knowing that you need the prayer. We need the Holy Spirit to regenerate us so we may be awakened, that we are eager and hunger to receive the word of God, that we can fully understand God's word. We must be born again in the Spirit to access the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, but there is one greater than I that will baptize in the Spirit. So for many, many years before Jesus came, baptism was with water. It was okay to be baptized in water. But when Jesus came, started to baptize in the Spirit, a different kind of anointing, a different kind of regenerating. Because when you're baptized in water, me personally, when I was baptized in water, I didn't feel any change. I just felt like they dipped me in water and that was it. But when I first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was different. I felt like I was floating, like I was light. All my burdens were taken. You just feel new. You just feel like it's this burning sensation. Like, I can't explain it because it's just, there's no words to explain it, but you know that it's the Holy Spirit that you have been baptizing. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:7, it says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one with the Spirit. So from the time that we've given our lives to Christ, we automatically are joined to the Spirit. It's for us now to activate that Spirit inside of us. It's for us to ask the Holy Spirit to come alive inside of us. It's for us to say to him that we need you. We need you to come and do what only you can do. When we are joined to Christ and we become one with the Spirit, that's where the transformation begins. Because when I look back at my life, I'm like, it's only God. I remember when I first came to church, it's like I couldn't control what I wanted to say. I was blunt. If I had something to say, I would just say it. I wouldn't care how the person felt. I would just say it. And I remember Ed Vidge always used to say to me, shut your mouth. You need to be quiet. Don't say this. She'll put her hand over my mouth, because it was just like, you're not thinking. And then when we started a personal development group, being more with Steppy, it was even worse. Like, I wouldn't even get to say it. And she'd be like, shh. Because she knew that I was going to say something that I'm not supposed to say. But with the Holy Spirit and the guidance, I've learned to control it. Even sometimes I find that I might want to say something, and I open my mouth and something different comes out, and I start feeling like a mug. I'm like, did I just say that? I'm like, but that's not what I wanted to say. I wanted to tell them off. I wanted to give them a piece of my mind. And then the Holy Spirit is like, yeah, but you say what I want you to say. And I'm like, Even with my kids, like sometimes I want to be so angry with them. And when I open my mouth to speak, it's a different reaction. And they look at me like, Mom, what's going on with you? I'm like, don't worry about it. So they've even gotten to the stage where they say, Mom, you've gotten soft. Yeah, so I'm like, I've not gotten soft. It's just God. Well, Rashad said to me one day, well, I like what God is doing, because you're not as mean as you used to be. I'm like, okay. So we give the Holy Spirit thanks for that, for breaking and molding and shaping, because that's what he does. If we really want to receive and accept him, he would break us and he would mold us. He has really taught me to be patient. Like this, most times we take control over things in our lives. But when we come to Christ and we open up to the Holy Spirit, is we don't have the control. And for me, I was not accustomed to that. I like having control over everything. I need to feel like I can control it. But coming to God, I've learned that I don't have the control. And if I try to take it, the situation turns out worse than how it was. And it can be very heartbreaking at times when you realize that, you know, I have no control over this. I just have to sit back and let God work it out. And whatever happens, happen. But we give God the glory, because great things he has done and greater things he would do. And so when we allow the Holy Spirit to seal us, we can stand firm knowing that we are loved and cared for, that God is our provider, our comforter, our healer, our deliverer. I am the Lord, he said, and we are his brothers, we are his sisters. He is the Lord that gives us assurance. He's the Lord that gives us rest. And if we do not belong to God, we cannot place a seal. He cannot place a seal on us. That seal, because I looked it up while I was reading this, the scripture. The seal is a seal for us as Christians, as believers in Christ, is the Holy Spirit. That is the seal that we can use to say, I belong to God. That is the seal that says that we are his ownership. We are his workmanship. We are the people that he is creating to fulfill his purpose. We are his church here on earth. We represent his kingdom. So that seal is a very powerful seal. And once we have been stamped with that seal, we need to understand that we no longer walk in the flesh. That we have to walk in the spirit. We need to get rid of fear and doubt and worry and anger and malice, because it is not part of God's plan. He cannot reside in us if we are filled with all of those things. But if we give the access to the Holy Spirit, the things that are in us that need to come out, he can take them out. He can take away those little foxes that will spoil the vine. But we just have to remember and rest assured that we are children of God. And as Olivia said, we will be convicted. But God said, come to me as you are. When you are weak, I will be strong. When you are faithless, he is faithful, because he cannot deny himself. So therefore, if we stand on that word and we remember that we are branded like cows, when they're branded by their owners, we are branded by the Holy Spirit and we are representations of God. I am a representation of God. Not every day I behave like it. I'll be honest, some days I don't. Some days I just flip the script, like they say on TikTok. I just flip the script and I'm off on the res and I'm angry and I'm everything. But then when I sit down and the Holy Spirit starts to convict me, I feel stupid. Because I could have, you know, just sit back, focus, and take things differently. So that is why this Holy Spirit said, we need to be open. And as Olivia said, we need to allow him to reside in us, to dwell in us, to convict us. Because the Lord said he corrects who he loves. And if he's convicting us, he loves us and he wants to see us going on the right path. In Romans 8:9, it says, giving the Holy Spirit access to our lives and surrendering fully to him is very important. If we are not willing to receive the Holy Spirit, and if we do not have him, and I'll say that again, if we are not willing to receive the Holy Spirit, and if we do not have him, then we do not belong to Christ. Romans 8:9. I've heard a few Christians saying, a few believers saying, they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, you do not belong to God. And I'm not saying it. He said it in his word, Romans 8:9. If you do not receive the Holy Spirit and you do not have him in your life, you cannot belong to God. So therefore, we need the Holy Spirit because we're not living the purpose that God has called us to live. We're not fulfilling the purpose that he's brought us on earth for, because he's already created our purpose. He already knows our destiny. He already knows, like, maybe in the next 10 years. You never know. Emma might be a preacher in the next 10 years. Gavin might be a preacher the next 10 years. We don't know. But God knows. So he's asking us to let the Holy Spirit guide us that we can get to where he knows that we need to be. And it's not easy. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. But we have to stand on his word. We have to yield to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We have to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We have to be open to receive him. We have to let the Holy Spirit do in our lives what only he can do. Otherwise, we are lost. So I just want to give God the glory and encourage everyone today who has not received the Holy Spirit. You should. God bless you all.